Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mean Green Nation Podcast, episode 34. One that should have started at 9 a.m. today, but instead is starting at 10:44. I kind of like the football team. Don't have my shit together. Actually, I just slept through the alarm. But it's Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Let's not dilly-daddle and let's get right into it. How far has this program fallen when you're getting blown out 41-21 by Rice? At Rice. Greg Godecker. Mr. Greg Godecker with me as always. What are your hot sports opinions?
Oh, there's plenty of them. I mean, it's a beautiful Sunday morning. Weather's nice out. I woke up this morning. So, yeah, feeling good about life.
Hey, you sound like me a couple weeks ago.
Well, I'm not going to be like really upset about what happened yesterday. I'm going to move past it.
There you go. It's a way to do it. So what did happen yesterday for the uninformed?
Well, we lost. We played a good first half, and then the second half, the wheels kind of fell off with the very first play of the opening kickoff, and from there it was all downhill. I mean, it probably started at the end of the first half. You know, we went in, Rice probably had momentum going into halftime, and it just carried over.
Yeah, in case you're wondering what happened at the end of the first half, so we kind of had a chance to drive down, get like a score right before halftime. But what was that score going to be? Probably a field goal, but that would have been great. You would extend the lead to 10. Everybody would have felt really good about themselves. So instead, I think the turning point was on, was it 2nd and 21 from the Rice 44. And Darius Terrell runs the square in, finds a little pocket in the Rice defense. McNulty sees him, fires it in there, hits him right in the chest, and Darius Terrell drops the ball. And, you know, he looks, you know, appropriately dejected, you know, as you do. And so the very next play, 3rd and 21, McNulty goes back to pass, gets sacked. By that time, I think there's like 39 seconds left in the game. So pretty much no time to do anything. So the play of that drive was that drop pass. I mean, that would have been a first down. You know, we're in business. Who knows what happens there?
Yeah, a couple things on that series. Don't take a sack, you know, to get in that second and long to begin with. Right. And then the throw, you know, Darius, he should have caught it. You know, it hit him. But sometimes receivers, if they don't have that spiral pass, you know, it gets hard to catch because it was a duck coming into him. It looked pretty ugly. I mean, he still should have caught it, but I mean, you know, it's a tougher catch when the ball's moving ugly like that.
Well, I'll say this, is that Darius Terrell's dropped passes from three different guys this year, and Carlos Harris has caught passes from three different guys. And I'll just leave it at that, you know what I mean? Like, maybe some guys need tight spirals, maybe some guys just drop passes.
Well, maybe he's one of the guys that just drops passes.
I don't know. I mean, you know, like, there are, like, a lot of things that I can, that, you know. I mean, I don't play, as I said before, and I think it's important to say it again because everybody's feeling angry. You should see, like, there's, like, inter-fan base arguments. Like, well, I mean, you know, the defense sucks. And the other people saying, well, you know, the offense sucks. Maybe the offense got their shit together. We could play defense, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole team is not that good. I think you put it up best a couple weeks ago when you say we have an average defense and kind of like a poor offense. I agree, and I think it was unfortunate that in this game the defense looked a little bit better after the second, third minute or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, going like I had tweeted out the night before that I thought, you know, maybe this was a game that the defense would say, okay, enough is enough. Because, look, everybody says, well, we have this young defense. We're the youngest team in the country. Maybe we're young on experience, but there's a lot of seniors and juniors in there that you would have hoped would say, okay, enough is enough. we're going to come out, we're going to play some football today, we're going to hit some people. And they did. They did for, you know, for most of the game. Really, the fourth quarter, they kind of got worn down. But, I mean, they played okay. They gave up the long pass play, and then they settled down.
Yeah, which is, you know, I've been saying this all year long on this podcast, that it reminds me a lot of the 2012 defense that looked really good in spots, but then would allow, you know, a deep pass, would get burned on play action passes. And, you know, that's one thing the 2013 version didn't really allow, except, you know, obviously that deep bomb to, like, to, what was it, Georgia. But, all right.
Yeah, I mean, on that play there, you can't have a safety matched up with Jordan Taylor. You can't. And I knew going into the game, we didn't have anybody that could match up with him anyways. But still, to have Laramie Lee trying to cover Jordan Taylor down the field is, I mean, he's going to win that matchup every time.
Yeah, and he won a lot of matchups. I was looking at the stats. He only caught 4 passes. It felt like many, many more. But I guess the 4 that he caught were that important. I mean, he had 4 catches, 137 yards, and the score. So I think what was good, and this is one of the things that some people tweet me on, like during the game, you know, because we all been watching the game, and we've all seen what's happening all year. We can recognize some of these patterns. That's one thing. That's one play where we've been getting beat all year. It's like the deep post, cross, you know, I wouldn't say cross the middle, but yeah, that's what a deep post is. I mean, we're getting beaten on the deep passes. I think it kind of started with Louisiana Tech. They started challenging us deep, and since then, everybody has tried their hand at it. And you want to know? You know what? You go back to SMU. They completed and they tried a few deep passes against us. That's the thing now. And it wasn't until about the second quarter, like in the first quarter, second quarter, that we started stopping that thing. James Jones made a couple of nice plays. McLean made a couple of nice plays on him. So I don't want to say, like, well, we kind of figured out how to defend that, but we didn't make a play. Yeah, there you go. And I mean, all right, this defense is still not, it's not like as good as it was last year. Obviously, we don't know. We want it to be solid enough to, I don't know, basically not allow touchdowns on the first play of the game. But I was kind of concerned that Rice kind of did whatever they want on a few plays. They had, you know, like 10 plays, 70 yards. They had, what, 4 total drives of 10 or 11 plays. And I know, like, in the fourth quarter, we may have been tired, but they had a 10-play drive in the first quarter. 10 plays, 75 yards, ended on a 10-yard run.
Yeah, their last 3 drives were 11, 11, and 10.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of stuff concerns me. You know, I don't want to be like, well, you know, the defense kind of figured it out since they don't allow long touchdowns anymore. I think that's the next step, is not getting drove on. And that's kind of what's happening.
You know, I think you go back to a few weeks ago where McCartney said that this team wasn't good enough to lean on one particular unit to win a game. And you saw that yesterday. The defense was feeding a little bit off the offense's success. They were working well together. They had the lead. Then the offense came out in the second half. They shat in their pants. And from there, the defense, you know, they looked dejected out there. They couldn't make a play. They couldn't make a stop. And they were like, what does it even matter? Because our offense can't move the ball on anybody. So, you know, it doesn't matter.
I'm responding to forum things. I don't think there are, like, very few teams that have a guy, all right, not just a guy. Well, yeah, a guy or an offense or a unit that they could just rely on and say, this is going to be our meal ticket, and everybody else is just really, you know, here because we have to be here. I think last year was kind of the, like, in North Texas history, that was probably the only one I could think of where, I mean, the offense was good-ish, but, you know, like I said, I was pointing to the numbers. They set a lot of records for yardage and scoring, but a lot of that, most of that even, was from the defense and the special teams scoring points. Defense scored a lot of touchdowns. And, you know, special teams, Breland Chancellor either scored or put us in great field position. So the offense didn't really have to do much. So this year, this year we're averaging 30 points a game again. But you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't think about it. You're like, how in the hell are we averaging 30 a game? Well, in conference play, we're only averaging 20. And, you know, this is right. We're right at our average, basically, with this 21 points. And one of them was scored by the special teams.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the season, we're going to be right around 21 points. It doesn't matter who's going to play quarterback. You know, we're going to be at 20 points.
Yeah, 216 yards total offense, 190 yards passing, 26 yards rushing, and a lot of that was because McNulty was getting sacked. I don't know how many times he got sacked, but the stats list him as with 7 carries for negative 38 yards, and I'm pretty sure most of that was sacking.
Showed him getting sacked 4 times.
Okay. So there you go. Not good when you lose 38 yards.
I will say one thing. We had more yards yesterday than UTSA did. They only had 70.
I kind of half watched that game while I was doing stuff I had to do. And yeah, they lost 34-0. They have regressed much like I don't want to say like we've regressed. We've kind of gotten to like this plateau where we had a pretty shitty offense, and then now we've settled on like 250 yards to 300 yards, and then we're going to score 21 points, which I don't think is bad. I mean, that's the starting point. You look at UTSA, they're like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen there. They didn't score, and UTEP of all teams, looked like, I mean, they looked like world beaters there, man. 70 yards. It was awful. The announcers are trying to make that interesting. Their quarterback only had 32 yards on 20 attempts. Austin Robinson. So there you go. That was another guy, Austin Robinson. I think that people on the message board were complaining that we didn't get him. Anyway, Andrew McNulty, 15 of 33, 186 yards, a score, an interception, and that interception was huge because it led to a score pretty much immediately.
Right.
His QB rating, 24.2. Does he start next week?
Yeah, he starts next week. I mean, it's Dan McCartney. He's not going to turn back to Dejon now. There really is no future at the quarterback position, no matter who you... If it's McNulty or if it's Dejon, I mean, basically we're getting to spring ball and we're going to open up the competition again. So after we finish off that last game against UTSA, he's going to say, oh, it's an open competition again. And then we're going to wade through all the crap of quarterbacks that we have, and we're going to get to week one next year, and it's probably going to be the same thing. We don't know who's going to start.
It's been the theme. I think he's opened it up every year, including when we had Derek Thompson. Right. Yeah, he pretty much said as much on like his coach's show last week on Monday. He said, McNulty did great. He did exactly what he was asked. He held on to the ball, you know. No doubt about it. Starters, he said he was going to be the starter going into the practice for the rest of the week. And he really put it on other people and saying that, you know, he damn near had 300 yards. He could have, if people would catch the ball. And he mentioned how good Carlos Harris was. Outstanding.
Right. But, you know, we watched that game and we saw him make mistakes where Southern Miss dropped the pass, where they could have picked it off. And so we knew going into the Rice game that we were going to turn the ball over. He was going to make some mistake. It was just going to happen. In every road game that Coach Mack has been our coach, we've had a turnover, except for one, and that was the Kansas State game. Every other one, we've turned the ball over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we knew it was going to happen, and it did. I'm pretty sure Coach McCartney thought it was going to happen at some point yesterday, too. And, I mean, it could have been probably a couple more interceptions that he threw. So, yeah, he's going to be the starter next week. If he can survive, you know, if he can stay healthy. I mean, when we play FAU in 2 weeks, can he survive? Can he stay healthy? You know, everybody talked about Dejon's, you know, physique of being, you know, kind of skinny and everything. Well, McNulty's only 6'1", 209. That's not big for a quarterback. That's pretty small.
Yeah, and he's gone down last 2 weeks, at least, with some kind of injury. But, I mean, you know, he's a tough kid, and I don't know. I don't I don't like getting into the cult of praising toughness for the sake of toughness. I mean, you know, I mean it's great and all, but I'd like to praise like touchdown passes too. So there you go. I don't know. I don't want to give him like ratings, but 15 of 33 isn't great. And I mean, I want to talk about Mike Canales going just, you know, four verts all game, for the rest of the game, pretty much from the third quarter on. And it, once Rice took the lead, 24-17, I think the very next drive, it was like he ran a couple times. In the way you do after your quarterback throws a pick six. We ran like three straight times with Reggie Pegram. I keep wanting to call him Eric. Reggie Pegram. We got a first down. We got like 5 yards on his third carry. And then we started throwing the ball and nothing. And then like the very next series we had the ball, it was like three straight passes, three incompletions. I didn't like it. I didn't think Twitter liked it. What did you think about it?
No, you're never going to win games when McNulty is throwing more than we run the football. We weren't successful running the football. We tried to rely on McNulty to throw the football, and that's not his strength. His strength is to be the bus driver and to not turn the ball over. He's not, you know, a playmaker. He's not an All-American quarterback. He's not an All-Conference. He's probably not another starter for any other team. Well, maybe UTSA. If he was at UTSA, he could probably start for them. But look, you just can't ask him to do that much. And yesterday we tried to do that again, just like in the Southern Miss game, and look where it got us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know everybody was going to point to the inability to run as like why we started throwing the ball there. But see, I don't even think it was that bad. I think at the time, I can't remember the stats at the time, but if you look at the stats right now, Antoine Jimerson had like a 2.4 YPC, and Reggie Pegram had 2.9, but I don't think you abandon it. I mean, you stick with it. And the okay. run game wasn't awful, especially at that point, because like I think Reggie Pegram's yardage all came right there in the second half, like immediately before they started throwing the ball, you know, just right. All over the field.
If we're getting 3 yards a carry, we run the ball first and second down, and look, we're at third and four. And I'd rather have McNulty in a third and four or third and five than a third and 10 after two straight passes.
Yeah, his touchdown pass came off a play-action pass. Let's point that out.
Right, and that's what our offense should be. It should be physical run. It should be take a calculated shot with McNulty down the field, and we live off of that. One thing that I have really disliked since he's become the quarterback has been he hasn't looked at Marcus Smith at all, and he's been open.
Yeah, I think for a while there, it was Darius Terrell, Carlos Harris, Darius Terrell, Carlos Harris. A lot of Carlos Harris, and then towards the end, I think on the final drive, he hit Smiley, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just pretty sad.
Yeah, then maybe Chris Loving here and there. Yeah, and Darvin Kidzie, he got a pass, but that was from Deshaun Williams. Yeah, so
it's kind of interesting. I, you know, I've been a proponent of this. If our offense gets stagnant, why not throw Deshaun out there for a series? If not to just be a wildcat run the ball quarterback. If our running game is struggling, and you want, you know, we know Mike Canales wants to run the ball with his quarterback because look, he even after McNulty got hurt, he called the quarterback draw play. You know, down at the goal line. I mean, what the hell was that all about? But still, I mean, you got this talented kid in Deshaun who can run. Throw him out there. Give him, five plays or something to master and let him master that. Do something.
Yeah, I mean, if he's good enough to be the starting quarterback for at least 3 games, right, then he can handle 5-6 plays, a series in the second quarter, early second quarter, something like that, just to kind of mix things up. I agree. I generally don't like that, but I mean, it's not like we don't have a quarterback controversy anyway, you know. So you might as well throw out another piece of dynamism out there. Let me see. By the way, if you're listening live, and I see some people are, you can interact with the show. I can't believe I actually said that. Seriously, interact with the show, guys. On Twitter, Mean Green Nation is my Twitter handle. MGN_Breakdown is Greg's. So you can do that, and then you can toss out your HSOs right there. If you like email, say you don't have a Twitter account, and you got this on one of the message boards, podcast@mingreennation.com. That's how you get in touch with us, and that's how we'll respond to what you have to say. And if we don't get it in right now, you can send it in next week when we talk about it. Hopefully when we start on time, you know, we'll respond to it. Anyway, so that's that. That's the people. Let's get back to what we're talking about. I agree. I don't like Andrew McNulty flinging the ball all over the place. I don't think I want him throwing the ball 33 times because that means that we're down or something. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of panicky from our coaches. I don't know who made the official call, but I felt like it was a little panicky for them to start throwing the ball so much. They could have ran the ball a lot. And especially considering that that's what we do, right? I mean, that's our stated goal. We're going to play on the ball. We're going to be a running football team. And we've run the ball in worse situations. What I mean, like worse, we're like down by more with less time remaining, and we'll be out there running the ball. So why not stick to our philosophy? That's kind of a problem here, is that we're not sticking with what we say we believe in.
I'd be willing to argue that we don't have a philosophy this year. We haven't been a physical running team at all this year. We've been running more out of shotgun spread sets than we have out of the power formation. So if there was a year that you would think that we should kind of be like 2012, where it seemed like that's all we did was get in two tight end sets and, you know, bang away, and we had the offensive line to do it, why not do it? I mean, eventually, look what LSU did against Ole Miss last night. They just pounded and pounded, and eventually the dam broke. So, I mean, what are we? What exactly is North Texas offense right now? What is our philosophy? I don't think anybody knows.
No, it's like, let's see what works this week, and then maybe we'll do that for a little bit. Or even worse, hey, what worked last week, and maybe we'll do some of that. That's even worse. Yeah. Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's pretty much it. We have a defense. That's my dog again. We have a defense that I don't want to say they're not bend but don't break. They break and they bend a lot. They're really stretchy. and I don't know. I mean, so, like, I can't say that we can rely on a team. I mean, really, you know, now it's over. We're 2-6. There's not a whole lot to play for except, you know, beating a team in front of you, which is kind of what it should have been the whole year, but there's a very, very small chance, if any at all, of winning a conference title. But all that is so far out of reach. We just kind of need this team to focus on getting better. And they have 2 weeks to do it before their next game. So what do you think happens during the bye week?
I don't know. I mean, nothing, really. Nothing special. Nothing that's going to change anything. You know, McCartney comes out every week, it seems, after a loss, and he says that this is unacceptable or that was unacceptable. Well, why don't you do something about it? I'm tired of you telling me what the problem is, but yet you can't fix the problem. Yeah. Your job is the coach. You get paid to do it. So go out there and fix it. You know, adapt. Do something. Don't just sit there and try and do the same thing over and over and over again because it's not working. Or just put, you know, a bunch of young guys in and try and get, you know, experience or, you know, do something. You know, give the fans something to look forward to next year, because I don't think there's much that we have to look forward to next year. We really don't. And we're probably sitting at a point in time where I don't think we'll be good the year after that. I think it's 3 years down the road where we might be good again and have a chance to go to a bowl game.
See, isn't that what happens with like mid-major type teams, that you get like a bunch of seniors that have been through the system, and maybe they weren't as talented, but now they know the system, and they're so experienced that that's when they win the games, right? That's when they get their breakout season. That's what we get, you know, in 2013 at North Texas, where a handful of seniors seniors.
But the guys who are seniors this year have been there for a while.
Yeah.
And they're not – the guys who are juniors and seniors – and probably the redshirt sophomores, you know, there's 58 of those guys, and some of those guys are junior college, so they haven't been here for it. But still, let's say 50 of those guys, they should be developed. They should play. Those are the guys that he brought in, he recruited here, he developed them here, and they're not making plays. I think that's where the frustration comes from in the fans.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to be this great coach at developing players because recruiting is hard for you. So why aren't you developing them? Why isn't, you know, our defensive line? Why aren't they making plays like last year's group? You know, what happened?
Yeah. One thing I said, what did I say? I said, like, the conference championship is out of, I mean, it's been out of reach, conference championship. I meant a bowl game. We're 2-6. I don't really see, we have an outside chance. We have to win the rest of these games to become bowl eligible. And with that record, I don't even know what kind of bowl we'd be going to. That's what I meant. So a little quick clarification.
Yeah, based on that team rankings, you can look up what our chances are of being bowl eligible, and right now it's a 4.8% chance of becoming bowl eligible.
Yeah, well, there you go. 4.8% chance. 4.8, yeah. Yeah, we're 0-4 in the conference, 2-6 overall. We are firmly in sixth place in the West Division behind UTSA, which is 1-3, Southern Miss 1-3, and Southern Miss beat us. So we're, you know, even further behind. UTEP is 2-1, Rice is 2-1, and Louisiana Tech has a vice grip on first place here with a 4-0 record. They're probably not that good. I don't think Louisiana Tech is that good. I mean, it looks like I said, the West Division is pretty terrible, and Louisiana is the least worse of all of them. That's how I rank them.
And they, you know, they get a lot of their tough games at home, so they still got Rice coming in to Louisiana Tech. So that's why I think they're a good chance of winning Conference USA West, and then going to be demolished by Marshall.
Yeah.
Who struggled yesterday? You know, Florida Atlantic played them tough.
Yeah, I thought was going to be probably their toughest game the rest of the way.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel about in 2 weeks we got Florida Atlantic coming to our house, and it's coming off a bye week?
I think they're going to beat us down, basically. They look pretty good. I mean, they're of the two Florida teams. Of the two Florida teams there, they're probably the best one. They're the most solid. They had the most solid year last year. FIU looks better this year, but, you know, Florida Atlantic looks about where I thought they'd be. You know, a tough team, get some wins, with some talent. What was I going to say? They stopped Marshall's streak of 40-plus point games. They scored 40 in every game this year except that one, but they still scored 35.
So based upon what happened yesterday, do you think that this team's just going to mail it in now? Do you think we're not going to hear Coach McCartney talk about the effort and the attitude? Do you think like some of that might change going into the FAU game? Because, I mean, we were there in the first quarter, and then it kind of all fell apart. And do you think that's kind of like the tipping point for the season? Like, okay, it's over.
I don't know. I mean, it's really like a study in motivation, you know? Like, a lot of these guys, when Dan McCartney came in, when he first came in, we were like in a crisis scenario, right? Obviously, you look at the record, it hadn't won basically any games. Everybody, you know, was tired of losing. So anybody with something different to say and a better record was going to motivate the shit out of you, you know? He could say, look, we're just, you know, he could have just spouted gibberish and people would have believed him a little bit. You know, like, all right, here's a new guy. It's some hope. So now that you've been here, you know, 3-4 years, you kind of see what you got to see him put into practice the things he said. Dan McCartney, I mean. Maybe you start to see the cracks in his philosophy here. And like, I think we've seen that. You know, if we played this game, if this game came out of, like, 2011, we would have been congratulatory of the coach and said, you know what, this is great. It's great to see a team that's, like, trying really hard, you know. They're trying to play. You can see how the shape of what this team's supposed to be in the future. And I think I said that as much. If you go back and listen to some of those podcasts. But now we kind of see, it's kind of like the same old story. It's like, man, for like 3 years now, we've had a team, like an unexplosive offense, and a defense that we are supposed to be relying on that has given up some ugly touchdowns. And, you know, like, you know how it's all supposed to work, and that's a little bit like 2013, where the defense is finally shutting you down and not allowing anything, and the offense is there supporting them by running the ball, holding on to it, and getting the occasional touchdown. But now this year, I mean, so, like, that's obviously the ideal. I mean, and I think I would say that we saw that it was surprising to see that last year. That, I mean, we had to stick a walk-on at corner, right? Like, we've not been able to get it, the team that we want to have out there. I don't know, but maybe that's what Dan McCone is saying. Like, man, you know, to really get the team I want, you know, I'd have to coach at Florida or Texas. I mean, but, you know, that's every coach. You got to work with what you have. And I'm thinking that's maybe, I don't want to say, like, his flaw. I don't say his flaw, but his weakness is that he's not really adaptable to what he has out here. And that's what it seems right. Like. And I'm just speculating down here. I mean, obviously, I'm not a coach. You know, for all that, because I feel like I'm going to get just everybody saying, who are you to say anything about Coach Matt? You don't know nothing. I don't know anything. I can make broad proclamations on the internet.
You haven't been called a negative asshole yet, so you're doing okay. But, yeah, his adaptability, we're going to see that after this season ends. We're going to see whether... You know, he's able to adapt to the times, or does he, you know, is he stubborn? And I think he's probably going to end up being stubborn, because I think probably the one coach that he tries to pattern himself after the most is Bill Snyder. I think he leans on that model of a program, because he talked about it with Vito. You know, Vito posted it, like, you know, he wants a few good players brought in, then he's going to fill with some walk-ons, some transfers, some junior college people. That's what Bill Snyder does. Bill Snyder doesn't adapt. His offense has been the same the whole time he's been there at Kansas State. But for, you know, his team, you know, they always play tough. They always play hard. And, yeah. You know, and okay, so Bill Snyder and McCartney were together. He sees it work. He sees that I don't have to do, you know, I don't have to adapt. This guy's able to do it. But, I mean, there's something that Bill Snyder does that, you know, McCartney can't do, obviously. Somewhere in that coaching philosophy, it's not, you know, meshing together. But I get the feeling that's the guy that he's trying to pattern himself after.
Yeah, you know, and, yeah, it's like everybody, just, you can take, like, Mike Leach's playbook and his philosophy and his practice philosophy, but, I mean, you don't have Mike Leach there. You might have all the parts, and you see a lot of teams using a lot of pieces of that offense, but it's not quite the same kind of offense. You know, and it's the same way, like, the Oregon Ducks kind of run. They run what's-his-face's offense, the guy who went to the Eagles, Chip Kelly. But it hasn't been the same kind of thing there because, you know, whatever. So what am I trying to say here? That you can try to run the same philosophy on, you know, because you have them all outwardly, you know. Well, he has tough players. All right, I need to get tough players. He says these things. I need to say those things. I don't know. I mean, a lot of it is how well you sell him. I think Dan McCone is a great motivator, you know. But, again, I don't want to say he had an easy situation. But it's a little bit easier to go into a program that is downtrodden. If you talk to anybody and say, well, we sucked. How are you going to make it better? And he's like, well, let me tell you, at Iowa State or at Florida, where we won national championships, this is what we did. And so you're like, all right, well, this guy, he has credibility. I'm going to listen to whatever Nelly has to say, you know, because I haven't won any national championships. We haven't even won, like, three games. So, yeah. And so, like, once you get past that, you can't really rely so much on that. Now it's like, all right, what else do you have, you know? Because, like, yeah, the top, the highest points that he's reached as a head coach has been a bowl game at Iowa State, which is hard, right?
It is. And a bowl game at North Texas, that's hard too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, now, like, he can improve, though, you know? Like, he can say, all right, I'm going to get there consistently. I'm going to do some things to make it happen consistently. And it's on him to figure it out. I don't know how you do that. I don't know. But, I mean, that's what we need to see out of Dan McCartney is consistency. That's the next step. You do it once, okay, that's great. High fives all around. Now let's see you do it again. Let's see you continue to win. This is all stuff that he said himself, right? You know, you win one game, that's nothing. I want to see winners. Winners, people go out there and win all the time. Yeah. Like, winning mentality. Same thing.
And I think that's what we wanted to see this year. We wanted to be competitive, and nine wins, eight wins was going to be tough, but we expected 6-6 or, you know, 7 wins if things fell into place. We didn't expect to be sitting here after the Rice game with 2 wins against Nicholls and SMU, and that's it. And yeah. No quarterback and, you know, a bunch of other questions. We didn't expect that. So Yeah, there's a little bit. The only fire he's getting is from the fans. And, you know, it's probably like 20 fans that are out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know where we go after this, you know? I mean, we gave him the big extension, and I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a human, too. And the thing is, like, it's easy to look at the players and say, well, they got to play better. You know, Dejon Williams got to know. You know, Andrew McNulty has to know better. You know, you can't. The people that know better are the guys with like 30 years of coaching, right? And it's on them to impart that 30-year wisdom to these kids and say, here's how I need you to play. And so, and it, you know, like some guys are just thick-headed. You know, some guys are thick-headed. And you can't communicate these things to them. But a great coach will be able to get them to adapt or find guys that will be able to adapt, right? And that's all on them. You know what I mean? Like, they're the leaders. Dan McCartney's the leader. And that's why I look more towards the coaches than I look at the players and say, well, you know, they've been in the system long enough. They got to know better. I mean, you know, they're just players. And they don't have that much control.
I mean, he brought these players here.
There's that, too.
And maybe because it's hard to recruit at North Texas, he just had to pick from the worst of the worst and try and develop those, and maybe that'll be his excuse this year, that, you know, well, you know, we had to pick from the guys that didn't have a lot of scholarship offers because everybody else closed their door in my face, so I'm, you know, I got a bunch of rejects out here, and I'm just trying to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at what Dan Mullins did, right? He said he's got a lot of, he's in the SEC, and he's beating SEC teams, right? And that's the biggest, like, I think the recruiting disparity there, he's getting, like, 2-3-star players, and they're getting 4- and 5-star players. And then his pitch is that, like, hey, look, you're more than a 2-star in my eyes. I mean, so I don't know. So then the problem is that, you know, we can't pick out the good ones, you know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, some of that comes to being adaptable. Maybe you don't need a 6'9 quarterback out there with a rocket arm, you know? Maybe you can't. If you can't find Peyton Manning out there, then maybe pick somebody else, somebody that can play. That's coachable, they can do some things, but you have to have some ideas.
I was thinking, and your opinion on this, we recruit, you saw the graphic yesterday, we got, what, 96 players from Texas. Do you think that we're focusing too much on Texas and we're not winning some of those battles where we could go to Louisiana or we could go to Florida where we've got Coach Canales has coached at Florida. Patrick, it ties Miami and coaching in South Florida and McCartney. What if we went over there and we expanded a little bit to grab some different recruits rather than just trying to win battles versus everybody in Texas that we're not winning?
Yeah, it's like everybody that's in Texas, all like 11 schools plus, you know, the handful of schools around that try to lean into Texas and recruit here. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the recruiting budget is. I'm sure it's not that big, so maybe you wouldn't be able to do the kinds of things. And you're probably going to lose that to Florida Atlantic, Florida International. But I think maybe when you make a trip over there, I don't think you close any doors. But maybe there's like a guy that should be recruiting Florida or something like that, a little bit more heavily than he is. Maybe it's a lot of phone calls. I don't know. I think you can get enough guys with a Texas, all Texas squad. And I don't really have a problem with it. I just think maybe – I think there's two things. It's like, I think the guys that we have here are good enough. They're good enough to get wins. So I'm less – I don't really buy his – we can't get the good players at one so hard. But then also, I think it's a little bit of, like, developing these guys. I mean, you look at Andrew McNulty, right? He's playing like a sophomore or like a freshman. You know what I mean? And maybe it's the upper reaches of his ability. I don't know, though. You know what I mean? I didn't recruit the guy. I don't know enough about quarterbacking to say this guy's going to project out to XYZ. But, you know, he has come in second to every quarterback at the start of the year in you know, preseason. That says something. I don't know what it says, but it says that maybe he hasn't developed any. Maybe that's on him. Maybe it's on all on Andrew McNulty, but I don't know. No other quarterback has been so much better than him that you're like, well, there you go. Look at Derrick Thompson. I don't think made huge strides in his career here. He made, you know, incremental improvements.
So why didn't we go to McNulty after the Louisiana Tech game? Why not just give it to him there? You know, yeah. If you wanted the bus driver,
yeah,
and you didn't think that Dejan was ready because clearly they didn't think that he was ready. Why didn't you just give it to McNulty right there?
Yeah.
Why? I don't get, you know, that thing.
So yeah, excuse me. Well, so what it says to me is that we're not so good at evaluating game situation quarterback. You know, we got Josh Greer, and we're like, this kid could start based on all the evidence that I have, all his film, all my time working with him in practice, and, you know, his spring game stuff. This guy's ready to start against Texas on August 30th. High five, right? And then he goes out there, and they're like, oh, shit, he's not so good when he's out in the field, you know? And so, you know, that tells me that we don't know what a game situation quarterback should look like, and we're not good at imparting that wisdom upon these quarterbacks that we have, right? Same thing with, like, Dejan Williams. We're like, you know, he's so talented. He's the most talented that we have out here. Let's stick him out there. And he does well. Actually, he did well. But then, you know, he did some, he had some turnovers there. And then we pull him back and say, that's not what we wanted you to do, you know? And so then we bench him. And then we stick Andrew McNulty out there and basically say the same thing, you know? Like, if he wasn't good enough to play in practice or and we didn't think that he could perform in the game, then we kind of have some measurements wrong, you know?
Right.
He's done okay in the games. And some of this has been against lesser competition than some of the other guys have played. I don't think Rice is as good defensively as like UAB or Indiana were. Whatever. I don't know. I mean, to me, like I said, a lot of this I look at the coaches and say, are we so good at evaluating these guys? Are we so good at developing these guys? And what's up with this fucking play calling? Sorry, there's a curse at family.
So, do you think? And this is a huge question. We're going to go into the off season. Clodaney's probably going to retire. Let's say he retires.
Right.
Do we go? Do you think Coach Mack's going to replace Canales?
Maybe. I mean, Mike Canales. Maybe Dan McCartney looks at it. And, you know, I mean, he kind of had to take him on. It was going to be Mike Canales as the head coach, or, you know, Dan McCartney. And so Dan McCartney, shrewdly, I might add, he's a good politician. He said, let me keep this guy that all the players love, and they all love him, and, you know, he had a lot of good feelings associated with him, Mike Canales did. And so he brought him on as offense coordinator. And if you look at his record up to that point, you know, he won a couple games, he played Kansas State pretty close here. The offense started scoring, and this was all with, like, Chase Bain as quarterback, you know, who was a wide receiver party guy, you know what I mean? And he got him, and so it was like, you know, this guy ain't so bad. Maybe when we fix the rest of this team, we'll be all right. But since then, you know, like, the offense hasn't really done much, although Mike Canales will quote all the stats from last year and all the records broken. And I don't think those can be discounted, but I could see him making a change, to answer your question.
So let's say he makes a change. And we know the offense that, like, Coach Mack likes. He likes the physical, the running, the pro-style offense. Who's he go to get it? Yeah, who does he go to get his offensive coordinator? Because the way that, you know, the landscape is, there's not a lot of those guys out there.
You know, he's going to have to, like, look to Wisconsin or Arkansas and say, hey, you guys do it that way. And then go down the list from, you know, like, find a guy that's willing to take a salary, you know, a decrease to come over here and coach the offense. Because it's not going to be like whoever's our offense coordinator right now. Because he's at a Big Ten school or a SEC school, you know, coordinating the offense. So he's going to have to go down the list. He's going to have to be like the quarterback's coach or the running back's coach, somebody like that, and then pick them, bring them over here, and have them call plays. And I don't know how well that's going to work out, but maybe that's what happens. I mean, what was what's the name from Alabama? He got picked from being their defensive backs coach, and now he's like a defensive coordinator somewhere, right?
Kirby Smart?
No.
Or Muschamp? He was with...
I'm thinking of somebody else. He was like the DB coach, but now he's something else. You can look it up on the internet, people. But that's what I'm saying. That's what we're going to have to do. Am I opposed to that? I don't know. I don't think so. Wisconsin has had... They've had a ridiculous run game for like something like 20 years now, you know? And that's just from them saying, look, this is the type of team that we are, and everybody believes it, and they recruit that way, and, you know, to use an overused, cheesy word, that's their brand. You think of Wisconsin football, and you think of, you know, ridiculous, you know, commitment to the run.
You don't think that he would adapt and go, like, get some, like, I don't, you know, some kid that, you know, was like a graduate assistant at some school that runs like a spread offense and bring him in?
Do I think he should? Yeah, he should. I mean, that's...
Maybe he should hire Derek Thompson from Denton to come be his offense coordinator. I mean, maybe. Everybody that would be like, hey, you missed Derek Thompson, we're bringing him back.
Yeah, will you satisfy all 20 people for the message board? Yeah. I don't know, dude. Like, here's the thing. You know, talking about adapting to what you have here and, you know, all while staying true to your principles. Like, Texas is, like, spread offense, you know, nation, basically, right? Like, all the, like, Art Briles came from here. You know, other, there's, like, the spread offense, you know, made its, you know, it was germinated here. And, you know, spread to everybody. All the, like handful of quarterbacks in the NFL, right? There's, like, five or six of them, all came from here. And there's, like, a crap ton of backups there also. Why are we not getting those guys? Because we don't run that kind of offense, you know? When everybody else is saying, look, you can run basically the offense you ran in high school. You come right here, you step right in, you play. They're like, yes. And we're like, yeah. Hey, you know that offense you ran in high school? You might run one or two plays from that, but mostly you're going to be handing the ball off. That's not as fun, you know? And also, and they're like, yeah, Wayne, you're not tall enough, you know? So I think you play the way everybody else is playing, you know what I mean? It's like we're trying to run a, you know, like a triple option here or something.
We should go find some good quarterback, and we should hire his head coach to be our offensive coordinator. And then that way we get said good quarterback to come to North Texas, and then it's a great story. I think that's the route we should go. I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, you can't hire high school head coach again at North Texas. Well, I'm not saying he's going to be the head coach. What about offensive coordinator?
Yeah. Looking back, Todd Dudd should have been the offensive coordinator.
Before he was the head coach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and here's the thing about Todd Dudd, that whole era was awful. But he increased the points per game. He set a number of offensive records. And it wasn't boring.
He just had
no defense.
If Dan McCartney were to go out, get a Texas high school coach to be his offensive coordinator, would you be opposed to it?
No, not would it. I mean, who better to learn from? And I think that's it. Like, Dan McCartney has 30 years of college football coaching under some greats, right? And he's worked with some guys that know what they're doing. So he can call them up and say, how do you do this? You know, worst case scenario, right? So, yeah, he's worked on Urban Meyer, Hayden Fry, you know, and he's led a Big 12 school, and he's won a bowl game here. He knows how to coach at the FBS level. Maybe not, you know, super great, but he knows how to coach here. So bringing in a guy and saying, this is how we operate here, you know, and you can call your plays and draw up some, you know, some touchdown scores over there while also operating under the system, that's the way you do it, you know?
And it may open up some recruiting doors, too. It may make that hard recruiting, you know, a little bit easier. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm thinking outside the box because I think that's what we have to do at North Texas. We can't do it like everybody else. We have to think outside the box. So, you know, like Arkansas State, you know, or, you know, they pull like a high school coach to be their offensive coordinator because he's a, you know, mastermind at what he does and he builds his way up. And, you know, maybe that's what we need to do at North Texas. We need to think, you know, differently than everybody else.
All right, Sunday morning, and we're drinking coffee, and let's play a little game of what if. Like, what if, way back when, instead of hiring Todd Dodge, let's say it worked out, and instead of getting, you know, Todd Dodge, we got Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. He would have came into North Texas. What do you think he would have done here?
He probably would have won. He would have won, but he would have been gone. If he would have won, if he would have gone 6-6 2 years in a row, he would have been gone. Because everybody would have viewed that as, that's an impossible job. He just won 6 games 2 years in a row. We need to hire this guy. So he probably would have won because he's won everywhere he's been, and then he would have been gone. Yeah. But
yeah,
I think our program would have been a little bit further along today.
Yeah.
Than it is.
I agree. Like, he won, like, what, San Diego State or something like that?
Yeah, San Diego State.
No, it was not San Diego. Was it San Diego? I'm thinking San Jose. No, it was somewhere. It was not San Diego State because that's like that was like somebody else coaching there. He coached somewhere and he did really well. And then he went to Stanford famously, and you know won everything over there. Had somebody tweeting? Somebody just retweeted us.
San Diego is what it was at, not San Diego State.
Yeah. See, there you go. Nobody even knew where he was before. But yeah, he comes from like a long line of coaching. Like he helped his dad or somebody at Western Kentucky, right? Like he did like volunteer stuff while he was in the NFL. He would just go coach on the weekends. Go do some recruiting right. for his pop. Yeah. See, that's pretty legit. Like he's been doing that for a long time. He's been a coach for a long time. All right, so what are your predictions for not the bye week, but the following week against Florida Atlantic off of 2 weeks? Do you feel good about that?
No, I don't feel good. I haven't felt good since I haven't felt good all season. So I don't feel good about us about playing FAU. No. Again, we struggled to prepare our teams off of a bye week. FAU is, they're playing pretty well right now. Their defense is playing well. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or a massacre. We'll probably lose by like 10 points or 14 points, but
I think the worst part about this season is that I think last year and the year before, we were like really good against the spread, and now we're really bad against the spread.
I think the worst part about this season is it's not over with yet.
Well, here's a scenario. This is going to truly test our burgeoning rivalry dumb, right? We may lose the rest of the games, but I think we probably can beat UTSA. The more UTSA plays, the more we play, I think we can beat UTSA. We actually score points with our offense, and they can't. But, it will be like an offense that cannot score against a defense that is now allowing lots of easy scores. So they'll get together. Maybe we'll have a good game here down at the Alamo Dome.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to come out motivated, and they're just going to shellack our ass because they're going to have, like, their best game of the year against us. It always happens that way. They're going to have their best game of the year against us, and we're going to lose by, like, 40. And, it's...
That would be awful. Well, UTEP came in and they were angry and they dominated you. All these teams that UTSA beat last year, kind of talk mess too. They went to UTEP and we'll beat them over there in UTEP, and they came to our house and they beat us here at Apogee. And now they're returning the favor, going over there and beating them down over there.
It's because, it's such a tough place to play in the Alamo Dome. It's so intimidating.
God. Those announcers said it was pretty loud. If you ask them on TV, it's pretty loud in here.
You could fart, it would be loud in there.
Well, anyway, so it might come down to the scenario that the only two games that we win handily against SMU and UTSA. And, I think if you told me, look, you're going to have a crappy season in the next 3 years, what's the very least that you want from that? I'm like, well, can we beat SMU? Can we beat UTSA? And then I can come away from this season in a good mood, looking forward to next year. What the good thing about next year is? We play SMU, we play UTSA again.
Yeah, okay. All the power to you.
Silver linings, man. Okay.
Yeah, there's no sunshine right now in the future for North Texas. Well, it's all cloudy.
Yeah, we're going to hear all the sunshine tomorrow. Coach Mack gets on in his radio show and he sits there while everybody eats barbecue and he gives you the positive side of things. That was amazing. 287 yards from McNulty last week, and he didn't look so special, but he's like, that's almost 300, So he's going to be like,
we lost by 20 plus points, but we almost won yesterday. We had Rice thinking that,
Say, hey, 21 points in the first half, that's the kind of thing we need to see,
Yeah, we hadn't scored on the road all year in the first quarter, and we came out and put 14 points on the board. That was amazing. That's what that is going to be his opening line. Hadn't scored all year on the road, first quarter. We put 14 points on the board. Bam.
Yeah. that's the kind of thing, is that, like, it's funny, we make fun of it, his relentless positivity, but that's the kind of thing I'd rather hear from him than, God, it's really hard to recruit here in North Texas.
Yeah, you know, some people, they don't want to hear the negativity, you know, they always want to hear the positive side of things, and that, you know, that's going to happen, and he's there for them. He's there to provide that positive feedback, you know? I mean, don't go like, you know, Coach McCartney, he's a good person. Yeah. He's a tough, you know, he works hard. You know, nobody's saying that he doesn't work hard. You know, nobody's saying that he wasn't good for UNT when he came here. We just, like you said, we want to see the consistency. I want to see him succeed. I don't want to have to see us fire him and bring in another coach and go through another rebuilding process. I want him to do good. That's the most important thing that anybody can take from the things that we write. I'm not going to blast and say he needs to be fired. I want the man to do good here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the old thing. It all comes from the same place that we want to see. I mean, it's a selfish place, ultimately. It's weird fandom that way. You know, like, you associate, you know, yourself with the things closest to you. So you want your family to do well. You want your city to do well. You want your university to do well, right? Because it all reflects back on you in some way. It's all selfish, you know? I wish we could win a couple national championships. I can walk around saying, I went there. I went there. I went UNT. You know, like, obviously, I went on the field. I went on the team, you know? I might not have even been in the stadium, but, you know,
I went to UNT.
I mean, you look at Dan McCartney. He was on the coaching staff. He says he won a national championship.
You got that big ass ring, yo.
Yeah.
He needs to start wearing that on the sideline and say, look, son, you need to go in there. You need to run this route. And be, why, coach? You're not the offense. Look at this big ass ring. You need to do this when I tell you to do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe that's the way to coach that way. I don't know.
Look, Les Miles wore the ring and it worked for him last night.
There you go. Les Miles is a crazy person. He's perfect for Louisiana State University there because they're a bunch of crazies.
Maybe Mac needs to be a little crazy now.
Let's get a little crazy. Yeah, all right. So with that, we're nearing like the end of our time here. Again, hey, if you have some hot sports opinions that you want to share with us, tweet at us, Mean Green Nation. You can always leave a comment. I'm going to post this on the site, meangreennation.com. Leave a comment on there. There's an email, podcast@meangreennation.com, or you can find us in the various forums where I posted this. You can leave it under there. We'll check all those places. Be sure to go read my immediate recap of the game, in which I just kind of rambled for a little bit. And there is where I talked a little bit more about Darvin Kidzie's hand signal that got everybody up in a tizzy.
Yeah, who gives a shit at this point?
Yeah, I think the best thing I heard is some man Twitter friend saying, like, I don't care if, you know, he was flipping everybody off. He just ran it back 100 yards, you know? And, I mean, that's really it. He scored a touchdown for us. It doesn't matter what hand sign he throws up.
We haven't scored many touchdowns this year. Be happy when we get one.
Yeah, that was one of three, and it came from by special teams. This is on a date when TCU put up 82 points. I think their basketball team had only put up 82 points one time in 13 games, or something like that last year. So they're out here.
The way it's going, it's going to take us about four games to put up what they just did in one game. Yeah. Let that sink in.
Yeah, what is it like in the? Like, I don't think we've combined for. I think. What's it? What's the name? It has 8 touchdowns, and 3 of them came against Nichols. I'm talking about Dejon Williams.
Yeah.
Was it Trayvon Boykin? 7 touchdown passes in a game.
Here's one. Yeah. What? Dejon? He's thrown for 7 touchdowns so far this year, right? Yeah. I think it's 7.
I think it's 8. So, but yeah.
I think it's 7. Do you think McNulty's gonna pass for 7 touchdowns this year, the rest of the season?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I think somebody pointed out in the endless debate over like whether or not he's better than Derek Thompson. I don't understand that whole argument. Again, I don't understand why we even bring it up there. He's graduated. It's not like he's on the bench and we benched him or we traded him away like Alex Smith style. He can't play at UNT anymore. So, I don't know. It's like somebody wanting him to get recognized. Like, you know, we got everything, all the recognition he needed. But I think somebody made the argument that if you wanted to see what Derek Thompson would have given us, it would have been what McNulty's given us. That he makes some good plays, and he makes some bad plays. And having watched Derrick Thompson play for, you know, pretty much his entire career at North Texas, it's hard for me to disagree. Because when the rest of the team wasn't playing well, we couldn't say, hey, Derrick Thompson, put us on your shoulders, take us down the field. Except for the time against UTSA, when he pretty much did that. And I think he kind of did that against Ball State for like a quarter. Yeah. But the rest of the defense, special teams, everybody was playing well that game. Against UTSA, he had one drive, and he came up a yard short. I mean, I don't want to knock Derrick Thompson, but I don't want to overpraise him, which I think sometimes we do at North Texas, and say, hey, if you want anything here, you probably should be up there with College Hall of Famers. Like Daryl Dickey, great job. Great job in a terrible situation, but there's a reason that he hasn't coached anywhere in the head position since. Yeah?
Yeah. I'm done.
Me too. I'm done. Gilman Green, subscribe, tell your mom.